Welcome to This Week with Tammy Holland, powered by Brown and Crouppen. I'm Tammy Holland. Today, it's a kind of a 420 special kind of a day. I thought maybe I'd chop it up with somebody who truly, I believe, is an expert. And also maybe get some legal questions popping around here today. So we'll just see how that works out. But my guest today is really one of my favorite human beings, one of my favorite artists, and really just an all-around awesome guy. Hi, friends. Say hello to Kiwan.
Hey,
Kiwan the best.
How you doing?
Yes.
I'm having a key-wonderful moment.
I know you are. You're always having a key-wonderful moment. Yeah,
you got that voice that make people be like, now what you say?
Ah, thank you. Thank you. How you been?
I'm good.
Yeah, I know. We ran into each other a couple Sundays ago at the charity basketball game for Zeus Rebel Waters.
Which was great.
Which was absolutely great. And I got a chance to see your son up close and impersonal. You know, I follow you on social media, so I've seen him on social media, but he is so adorable.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And he had a little bond with my daughter. I'm like, what is this Kiwan teaching this baby? This baby gave my daughter the eye. Your son straight macked on my daughter and then bounced.
Kept it moving.
He kept it moving. Yeah, we rolled. Yeah,
there's room for more.
No, it was the funniest thing. My daughter Meadow is standing around, and do you call him Legend?
His name is Legend.
Legend, but legendary.
His middle name is Derry.
Yeah, so I didn't know if we were calling him Legend or we were calling him Legendary.
Right.
Well, Legend, who is also legendary, of course, Legend is playing courtside, and my daughter walks up, and he kind of stops playing, and then all of a sudden, he comes up to my daughter, he gives her a pound, he looks her up and down, and then he walks away. I'm like, who is this kid? Who is this kid? That's your son.
Yeah, he's special.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's good. And of course, your daughter's so beautiful, just getting so big.
Take me to Six Flags like it's around the corner. Six Flags is not around the corner.
Listen, let me tell you something. Just be thankful that she still wants to go to Six Flags. Okay?
Okay, I'm there.
You better drive that girl to Six Flags.
I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there. I am. I didn't. That was just, you know, you got to act like you don't want to, but still do it.
Yeah. What have you been doing creatively lately?
Just turning my ideas into something that's actually outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
I'm into my film life. I've been saying it for a long time. I just building my team. It's hard to get a team. Movies is something that it's not like music where you can do something by yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, you can engineer, you can make the beat, you can rap. With movies, you need everybody to be in sync at the same time. So I just been finding a special way to do it and do it more than
better. Are you writing? Are you directing?
Writing. I'm creating.
I love it. That's good.
I don't like to take people who do stuff every day and come and take their title as if I know, as if I've been through.
Even
what
though
been
you
through.
Say you can probably do it all, right?
Yeah, but I'm still But you know, sometimes you don't know where to put your punctuation. So right. I say you're a writer, I'm a creator.
All right. Well, I look forward to your projects. I think that's really cool.
Thank you. I'm trying to help the young people make a better decision.
Yeah.
Every day. So while I'm helping my life, I'm also helping somebody else's at the same time.
I like that.
And I'm trying to create something that can fuse into grown and young. So it's kind of like a shy. Like, is that a young people movie or a grown? You don't know, do you? You feel me?
Yeah, I feel
you. So that's where I'm at with it, because both people need to learn lessons. And you need to understand what the grown person is going through while you're going through what you're going through.
Yes.
And vice versa. So I'm creating something to help decision-making skills.
I love that. Yeah, keep it up. How do you have thoughts, or do you still pop in the studio every now and then?
Oh, yeah. More now than never, yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like, how much time you spend in the studio these days?
Not a lot. I'm not a studio rat.
No?
No, I'm more of a person that knows, try to understand what to do with it after you're done being in the studio. That was really my part. Marketing and just getting the word out, you know.
So are you all done with rapping?
No. I'm not done at all. I'm just saying I've just never been that person.
Okay. All right.
Like, you never, Kiwan got a solo. I've never been that person.
Yeah. But so, if you just feel like doing something, you'll just do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if somebody asked me to do a feature, or if Murph is in the studio.
Okay. I'm just saying, feel like doing something. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. What's up with Jokes and Smokes? You got something coming up 420. Something. Is it actually on 420, your event?
Yes. Really? It's on 420. This is the first 420 on a Saturday in a long time.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Yes. That's pretty epic.
And in the past years, I was doing Bud and Bowl. Mm-hmm. I had Tropicana. Mm-hmm. And we sold like 54 lanes full
of bowl. It seems like that would be kind of did they smoke in Tropicana?
Yeah, I did.
And they were bowling?
We did.
Wow.
We did it all. That's what made it special.
Wow, that just seems like it would be so dangerous. Look at me, I'm like, I'm somebody's mom. Oh my gosh, you guys were smoking marijuana and bowling?
Yeah, at the same time.
Okay.
So if you get mad at your gutter, you can calm down.
Okay. I feel you. So yeah, you all were probably very, very calm bowlers. No one had any arguments.
Nah, unless you lose your money.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One of those. You've moved on from Jokes and Bowls, and now you're doing. Mm-hmm.
So it went from Bud and Bowl to Smokes and Jokes. And I actually developed at the same time. I just didn't move on it, same way with the movie. Mm-hmm. So I decided to get with my brother Murph and my sister Janet and develop something like a Comic View or a deaf comedy jam, but in the cannabis world.
Mm-hmm, interesting.
So a lot of people, when they go into a comedy show, they're smoking before they go. So why not do it in there? You know what I'm saying?
All right. So you've created a safe space.
An experience, yes.
Where people are able
to enjoy. To laugh and get lifted.
To enjoy comedy and
it's healing. Yes. It's wellness on both sides.
Healing and wellness on both sides. So you've got the event's coming up on 420.
420.
In St. Louis. Where is it?
It's in Florissant. We have a mansion, so we call it the 420 Estates.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So it's from 2 to 12. So from 2 to 6, we're going to do a live music, live bands. We have Rhoda G. We have Rooted Bud. We have a brass band, and then we roll into the Smokes and Jokes from 5:30 to 8-ish. And then we go into the fight party, which is Haney versus Garcia.
Wow.
So it's a whole beautiful day. We have you park at the school lot. We pick you up in the shuttle and we bring you over to the Wee Wonderland.
Wow. Okay. That's quite a day. That is quite a day. You call it the Wee Wonderland.
Yep. With your ticket, we feeding you, giving you a meal.
Oh, you've got food in there too for everybody.
Yeah. Because you gotta.
Is it all with one ticket? It's all with one ticket?
Mm-hmm. It's trying to keep you safe. You know, you're doing a lot. You don't know your limits sometimes, so we try to make sure we keep you hydrated and keep something in your stomach.
Mm. Do you do this every month?
Yes, I do Smokes and Jokes every month.
Okay, so
next month I'm at the Big Top.
So I feel like there could be a Diddy joke coming in here somewhere, but maybe I'll just save it and I'll just keep it for myself. I'm just kidding. I'm moving on. Okay.
That's what Diddy does, keep it for itself.
Okay. All right.
You on point?
No, I'm on point? All right. Okay. So looking forward to that. Give me your social media.
My social media is Kiwan Lunatic OG. K Y J U A N. If anybody wants to know how to spell my name right, it's K Y J U A N. But you can go to smokesandjokes.live. And get the ticket and read up on what we're doing every month.
All right. That's awesome. Because you do this every single month.
Every month.
All right. Well, wonderful. Thank you. I'm so excited to you know, hear all about it.
Yeah, you should come out.
All right. Maybe one day I'll do it.
Just play the back like this.
Yeah, maybe.
But it's a lot of people that come that don't smoke. They just like to enjoy the atmosphere and just see the good people. It's not about everybody has to smoke. Okay. It's not that type of vibe. It's especially for an outdoor event like this, you can't really, you know. Yeah. If we was closed in like this, it will affect you. But we're not. We're nice and open. People come, smoke cigars. Some people come and don't smoke at all. They drink. I go to the club and I don't really drink. So what's the difference?
Hmm. Understood. Andy Krupen is in the room with me.
That's
Andy,
my buddy,
how you
man.
Doing? Is Andy your buddy?
Yes.
Andy's everybody's buddy.
Oh, I don't
What's
feel
up,
so
Andy?
Special no more, man. Come you everybody on. Buddy?
No, nah, don't listen to
how are you? I'm good, brother. How are you?
Hi, Andy.
Hi, Tammy.
How are you? Oh, give me.
Okay. Oh, yes. Been too long.
It has. Okay, swing your mic over.
Oh.
So, I was thinking, you know, Kiwan's got this event coming up 420. 420 obviously is happening anyway. It's going to be on an epic day, a Saturday, so everybody's going to be all wired. Lots of things that I think people should understand and know approaching 420 as it relates to the law and how they should protect themselves and understand what is and what isn't proper, right?
Right.
So wanted to like kick things off with some questions. Kiwan and I were talking amongst ourselves before you got here about like, you know, how much Okay, like I want real make sense. I want like real questions. So like, say if somebody's traveling, they're going out of town for 420,
yeah,
and they have maybe a couple of pre-rolls in their luggage or something. What's going to happen to them if they're traveling and some pre-rolls are discovered in their?
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. So
you're gonna you know, there's a little bit of confusion about this. So remember, cannabis is federally regulated and federally illegal. The TSA, which does security at almost all the airports, is federal. And so technically, you could find yourself in violation of federal law and in trouble. Now, I think practically, and some airports have even come out to say this, the TSA is not looking for cannabis. If they find it, they will refer it to the local law enforcement, meaning where it is legal. So most likely, not certainly, most likely, they're just going to make you throw it away and it's not a problem. Now, if it looks like you have big amounts, things that are packaged in a way that are intended to be sold and distributed, I think you might find yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people who travel with stuff for personal consumption. Mm-hmm. I have heard that if you're traveling from a legal state to a legal state, mm-hmm, that you are unlikely to have problems. Mm-hmm. But you're always running a risk, mm-hmm, when you're going through a federal system.
Understood.
You know, so I would not encourage anyone to do that. You know, if you want to take that risk, know the risk you're taking.
Okay, understood. Okay, so it's 420. Maybe somebody's out there celebrating. Maybe they are smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they have some leftover blunts in the ashtray. What's going to happen if there's a traffic stop and this maybe just one marijuana joint and a couple of like little pieces are in the ashtray? What's going to happen to them?
You know, obviously, just like drinking and driving, I would discourage anyone from using cannabis and driving. I think that you are often impaired, especially, you know, I saw something on CNN years and years ago where they did this study where they had new cannabis users and longtime regular cannabis users. And they tested their ability to drive.
Mm.
And what they found was it affects people differently. People who rarely or never used cannabis were very impaired.
Mm-hmm.
People who regularly used cannabis, they found, were really not very impaired. That said, that's not how the law looks at it. So I think what had happened is if there are a few pieces of a blunt in your ashtray, and your car does not smell like you just finished smoking them,
mm-hmm,
and you do not look or seem impaired, I don't think you're going to have a problem, but you might. You know, odds are they're not going to see it. And we were doing a podcast earlier, and one thing that I think is really important for people to know,
yeah,
is put it in your mouth and swat. No. just like, remember these words.
Okay.
I am sorry, officer, but I do not consent to searches. Because so many times they will say, you mind if I search the car? And people say, yeah, not realizing that you can say no. And you can say
tell
no.
Tell us what to say again. Say it again, Andy.
I'm sorry, officer. I do not consent to searches. Okay. And what can happen is I've known people who didn't think there was any problem. They were doing nothing wrong, had nothing in the car. And all of a sudden, something was found in the car. And the officer had no right to search them. Had they said, I'm sorry, officer, I do not consent to searches, they would have been home free, but instead they spent the night in jail.
Mm.
So I think that's always...
Wait a minute, that's thrown over.
Go ahead.
That sounds good. But in my culture, that sounds like trouble.
Well,
I know the law.
Yeah.
I feel you. But if I say, nah, I don't want you to search my car, they like, so you're resisting? I'm like, so how far do I have to go to let you know that I know the laws before you touch me or before you call somebody else or before you do anything wrong to me because I said you can't search my car for a traffic stop?
I think you're 100% right. I think could that be seen? Is it likely to be seen as inflammatory? Absolutely. You're 100% right. And I think what you do is you're not going to fight them. You're not going to physically prevent them from doing it. But I think if you clearly state, I'm sorry, officer, I do not consent to searches. And then if they push it, just continue to say no, but let it go. And then the benefit of it is,
you did say it,
assuming they have a body cam, that's better. But if not, that may make that search invalid if they do happen to find something. But I know, I think you're right. It's a very difficult situation to be in, because some officers won't respect that and will push it and see it as inflammatory, and it will escalate. But I think a lot of it is in how you say it, and how you handle yourself when they say, what, you know, and get angry. You know, if they're not the ones to de-escalate, you got to try to be the one to de-escalate. And I know that doesn't always work,
right,
but you do your best.
Right. You do your best. What else? What can you think of?
How long you think it would be? I know it's like prohibition with marijuana. It feel like we're going through it. Like, oh, it's bad. It's
right.
What it is. And now, you know, nowadays, I think I've seen the Budweiser sign in a church.
You did not.
I did not. So when you think it's time for big corporations like yourself to get behind things that I'm doing, like in the industry?
So I think.
Like a bomber. Well, I know some people have their own dispensaries, but like.
So you're saying like when like the.
Like the Pepsis, the Brown and Crouppens, the.
So I think that. I'm flattered that you say our name in the same sense as Pepsi. You know, I think the big corporations, it'll be some time. Although I'm not even sure. Maybe in some states, like local distributors will get involved. But for on a national level, for the big companies to get involved, I suspect it'll take federal legislation.
To say yes.
In terms of companies of our size, I think they're already jumping in and sponsoring things. I have no problem with it. I don't think most people do. In fact, I think historically people were surprised when we got these ballot initiatives, the percentage of voters that voted for it. I think it was always thought that politically maybe Democrats would vote for it and conservatives wouldn't, but that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Everybody uses it across the political aisle. These laws generally pass overwhelmingly, and if they don't, it's not because of people's stance on cannabis. It is because of something quirky in the law,
right,
like it didn't go far enough.
Yeah.
In fact, the law in Missouri almost didn't pass because people thought it did not go far enough to legalize cannabis. So it was actually the cannabis activists that almost killed it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what it'll take for the big, big corporations to get involved.
That's a good question. Very good question. Okay, last one, because I bet you have to jet. It's 4:20. Everybody's celebrating. You know, people go out for St. Patty's Day, and maybe, you know, at lunch they go and have a couple of green beers. What happens 4:20? Somebody's working. They go out. Maybe they enjoy cannabis. They come back to their job, even though it's legal within the state of Missouri. Like, could they be fired for that?
Well, yes, because in the state of Missouri, you can be it's an at-will employment state. So in the state of Missouri, you can be fired really for anything as long as it's not because of you being the member of a protected class. Can't be fired because you're a woman or because you're black or because you have a disability, those types of things. But they can say, you know what? I don't like those earrings. You're fired. So certainly for being impaired at work, I think a lot of it is very similar to the laws with alcohol. And I think cannabis and alcohol, while in some ways it's a good parallel, I think it's actually often not fair to cannabis to parallel it with alcohol. But when we were kids, it was always there's alcohol, and then there's drugs. And mm-hmm. I think that is one of the most dangerous things mm-hmm. that there is out there to teach kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think there should be cannabis, which is less harmful than alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
There's alcohol. And both of those things are going to be regularly used by responsible people.
Yeah.
Some people are going to use them irresponsibly. Mm-hmm. However, those are in a different category than drugs. Because I think the danger is when we were kids, when you just lump it all in with drugs, people use cannabis and then they're like, well, that was fun and that didn't hurt me. Whoa. And then the same person you bought it from said, well, how about some cocaine? How about some heroin? How about, you know? And you're like, well, it was looked at as experimentation and all being equally dangerous. And that just could not be further from the truth. I think it's important to teach kids and normalize cannabis use as being similar to alcohol, but probably safer, discourage the use, certainly at a young age. I think young brains probably should not use cannabis. I know a lot of people do. They probably shouldn't use alcohol either. But once you're an adult, I think that it's really, really irresponsible of us to really lump cannabis in with other drugs that will kill you.
But it's so often done. I get it.
Yeah.
My grandma is, smoking that dope. Hmm. Dope? I'm not smoking dope. Why you call it that? Man, dope? That's deep.
Yeah, I get it. You know. Listen, I've got some gifts for you.
What's up?
Me?
I you know what? I could give you some of these gifts too. But I've got some gifts from you for you from all of us here at Brown and Crouppen. Some stuff, some swag you can take, you know, thinking very very much University City.
My bag. This is definitely a You See Me bag.
Yeah, you see that? Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing with me. Okay. And I wish you there's some I always got to tell everybody
people love that pizza cutter.
Pizza cutter.
Emos.
Yeah, it is a seriously great pizza cutter. Some stuff for the you gotta have that. Gotta have that.
All right, I'm sport y'all stuff, man.
That's what's up.
My white and black forces.
Yes, I appreciate
you. I got something for you.
You got something for me?
Yeah.
You got something for me?
Why is everybody getting presents but me?
I know it feels like a bad Christmas.
Yours is in the mail, man.
It feels like a bad Christmas. Aw. You want one of these?
No.
I got one. Oh, whoa.
I've got
10. Oh, wow. Black every month. You see me. Yes.
And it's pink. I knew you was going to wear pink.
And it's pink. And I love pink. Thank you very much. I love it. Did you make this?
No. I designed it.
You designed it?
Yes.
Well, I love
it. Well, I did make this one. But you can, you know Jack by John?
No.
Yeah.
Jack by John.
By Jack. And then you go / and type in You See Me. Or to go to my IG or something. I'm Keywine Lunatic OG. And you can go online. You can get your own.
Okay.
Come to your house.
What?
It come right to your house.
Yes.
All different colors.
So he's delivering. So there you go. Yeah. It's beautiful. And I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
It's the truth, though.
Yeah. I know.
Not just February.
I am black every month. Yeah, okay. All the time. I'm actually in black every day. Yeah. Okay. Seriously.
I just clump mine a little. I'm black every year. I'm black every century. I'm black every...
Yes, but the bottom line is, you're black.
Hey. Not brown. Andy. I'm from the Boogie Down Productions.
Hey.
What's up with you, man?
Man, we had a baby about 2 years ago, and I'm 53. So, did you really?
Yeah, I'm not 53, though. But
but you're not that much younger than me, are you?
I am on TV.
How old is your baby now? How old is your son?
He's like 36 now. What are you, 36, 37?
46.
All right, that's cool. You forget?
I don't care no more.
Oh, okay.
So you know how that is. That takes up a lot of your life.
Yes, I do.
You've got to be hot. That jacket is hotter than this. I've been sweating in this room every time I walk in today.
I got a friend by the name of Pimp C that says TV don't have a weather. TV don't have a temperature.
Pimp C said that?
He said TV does not have temperature.
I never heard that.
So when he wears Mink in Miami on the video, it don't care about where I'm at.
That's what's up.
It's about what I'm
doing. I always wonder, like,
I've always been cool. A cool person.
How you looking so cool like that?
I've always been this person. I always can wear Mink and I be in the loft like what?
Oh,
I'm cool. I'm not doing all that.
I'm usually cold. It's hot in here. And
That's Nelly's song.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever read Pimp C, did you ever read his, I don't know if it was an autobiography or just a biography. It was long, but it was great. It was very interesting.
Yeah. Now you're going to make me read it.
It's good. It really goes through like before, even like the early days of UGK and before UGK, how they became UGK and the whole, it was really great. Okay. Interesting. Oh, you know what? I talked to you before. I was going to ask you because this, Future and Metro Boomin put out this album.
There was a surprise feature.
Kendrick Lamar was on it where he dissed J. Cole and Drake. And as an MC, you must have a unique perspective on this. And then J. Cole apologized with that, which I feel like maybe not today, but 10 years ago, that ends your career. You're over.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It hurts now.
It definitely hurts.
But it doesn't hurt.
Right.
It definitely hurts, though.
He's a good dude, though, and he's known as sort of a good dude, peaceful guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering how he survives this. You know, he's still great, but it, like, takes away that, I don't know. You just hear Kendrick on there, and he is a killer on that
what
verse. Just
think?
An assassin.
I just think you don't have to be a killer all the time. That's what LeBron went through. Because he's not the killer, then you're not them. That's false. I think what J. Cole did was bigger than what anybody can than do. It's harder. Sometimes you fall into what everybody's doing on accident, you know. And just because I say I'm the best don't mean I have to fight you. You know what I'm saying? So when they get him off of his ram, because he just amped up. You got to realize J. Cole wasn't even doing features until 4 years or 5 years ago. He wasn't jumping on people's songs. He wasn't doing none of that. He just realized he can hear. So he knows, he keep doing that on that beat. Because he do his own beat stuff too.
Right.
So I jump on y'all stuff and kill y'all. So since he's saying I can kill y'all, I can beat y'all, which he really never said it, then it's kind of be like, okay, when somebody challenge you, then you should be ready to kill them. That's kind of how the world looks at it. I don't think that it's needed, you know. But it does let you know that this is hip-hop, and it is brought up as the essence of a battle and all that. He's battling himself. You don't have to battle another person. It's already enough going on right now. I know when I saw J. Cole for the first time, we was at the studio, and everybody was going out. Lil Wayne, Nelly, everybody was finna go out, and he was like, I'm not going. They was like, you go out, then we come right back. You're like, okay, when y'all get back, I'll be right here. We're going to get some girls. I don't need no girls. I'm chilling in my Jordan shorts, these dirty shoes, and I'm finna make some music. And me and Murph wanted to stay back so bad. Like, man, yeah, we want to stay too. I want to go too. We don't go for 1 hour instead of 3.
That's a cool story.
You know, and it just let me know where he was with his whole move and his energy. For real, I look at Murph as J. Cole of then, but it wasn't looked at as that. So sometimes it doesn't get heavy brought onto you. You know what I'm saying? But because Murph wasn't standing on the couch or taking off his shirt or wearing a lot of big jewelry, people look at it like he's not him sometimes. But it all rolls back around to, oh, you were humble. Oh, you're nice. I love you. And so it comes back around and older. But during that time when they thought he should be Lil Wayne in it, he was like, I'm not about that. I'm about this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I respect J. Cole for that. And I respect Murph, too, for that.
So you don't think it ends his career?
No, it doesn't end his career.
It hurts him a little.
It just makes people feel different. I mean,
Drake. But he's sort of in his own lane, too.
I mean, Drake had a co-writer. I mean, Drake had a writer.
Yeah.
Quote, unquote. Which, that's stupid, too. But Drake had a writer. So that helped. That hurts him for a couple years. Then you got to rap out of it.
Yeah. I don't think many people could do what he did.
You got to rap out of it. And it's okay to have somebody to help you do stuff. Like, who are you battling? Are you battling your friend down the street? Or are you battling Katy Perry? Like, who are you battling?
Yeah.
You know, with your music. How big can it get? Because everybody you're battling in hip-hop, to be the top person, they have 10 people helping them with one song.
I like how you put it. He's battling himself. Because in his apology, kind of, that's what he says.
He's like, I'm tripping. Y'all finna get me into this. Which really can take him here instead of staying here. He got knocked down a notch, but it's not enough to be like, I don't like him no more.
Although, you know what? He sort of started it. That's the thing that bums me out about it, is he kind of started it. And then when Kendrick came back like that, he was like, no, this isn't for me. I don't know.
He started by saying what? He's big three? Or what?
When he said something like the big three, and he starts how he's not three, not two, he's UNO, and then he's like big three, but I'm Muhammad Ali.
So what if he was really talking to Drake at that time?
I think he was talking about Drake too.
True, he right here next to him.
Exactly.
About,
but
I am, you just ended.
Right. I don't know.
He just letting him know, like, you gotta realize, for Drake to finally be like, all right, come on.
What did Drake do?
He said, come on, go on tour. Then people outside seeing Drake and be like, dang, J. Cole, tight. It's hard for Drake knows. So it's like, I finna put him in his put, and I know he finna do his job. It's gonna make him step up again, another notch. You know what I'm saying?
And it did. I saw him in St. Louis. It was an incredible
and
show.
It does, because he's going to do what you think he ain't going to do.
He was incredible.
In them pants.
And in then, those pants. And leave that man in his pants and his shoes.
I said, in those pants. So like the tour didn't mean as much. That's all. I just dropped him back.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I was watching on the Joe Budden podcast. Joe says that he's talked to people who can rap. And that both of them, Drake and Kendrick, have been in the studio. They're done. it's good. Round two's coming. It's just fun. You know, as a human being, I like what J. Cole did. Yeah. You know, I think it's great. It's admirable. As a hip hop fan, it's a little disappointing.
I mean, boxing is fun to look at, but it's not fun to be in there.
No.
Okay.
So. No. Ha. You're right.
Right.
Anyway.
It's different. I
appreciate your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just.
Because you know what it's like, I'm sure, when somebody comes at you.
I don't want no smoke. I'm just saying, right. I just think we all should be at peace and we should try to get some bread and help the children.
Yeah.
Something to help them. If y'all ain't talking about that, then I ain't worried about it. You know what I'm saying? J. Cole does. So,
yeah.
I'm with J. Cole, period. Yeah. Not against anybody else, but right. I just like J. Cole.
Same.
Hard not to.
Same.
Yeah. I like Kendrick too, though.
Yeah.
And Drake. So
also hard.
It don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
We're talking about nothing.
I feel like, you know, like if you're at a tennis match and you're just going like right. this, boom, boom, right. boom. I like did that like for the past few minutes, and it's really been a pleasure, truly.
What's up? Your neck hurt?
Kind of.
Mine actually really does.
I'm like, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for coming.
No problem. Thank you for
Thank you so much for dropping by. I haven't seen you like
this. It was a long commute.
It was a long commute, right?
Yeah.
Thanks for making it for me. I appreciate you. Listen, I say this every week. You know what? If anything ever jumps off in your life, you're injured at no fault of your own, please, I do encourage you to reach out to my friends here at Brown and Krugman. Look for them online. You can find them on the World Wide Web. Somebody said that to me. I was working at the radio station and the man said www. I'm like, who still says that? But anyway, man, you go to Get
BC. Legendary.
It is legendary. You were about to say ESL behind that, weren't you?
Legendary. Commercials are legendary. Yeah. Some commercials last forever.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. GetBC.com. And of course, find them on social media. And if you're in St. Louis, all twos, just dial all twos, Kansas City, straight all sevens and 816 in front. I appreciate your time. And as always, remember, life is death without adventure, and adventure only comes to those who are daring and willing to take chances. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, what she said.
Yep, yep, yep. Have a good day.
Peace.
All right, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Good to see you, man.
You too, man.
Ugh.
Hey, yo, I went to the wedding on accident.
On accident? How did you do that?
You never heard that?
No.
We got married in Cancun, and I don't know, we ran into you earlier in the day, right?
At the airport.
At the airport. I was like, hey, we're getting married.
Married tomorrow. I'm like, I'm going to Cancun. Yeah. I'm going to Cancun. That's a party.
You said that's a party.
What? You trying to look somewhere? So you want to go to Los Palmos or your wedding? I'm going to your wedding.
Yeah, I was like, we're getting married tomorrow.
I kicked it.
La Meridian. Come on by.
Did you kick it?
Yeah, they wore chucks. They wore chucks. They wedding.
Yeah. Your wedding photo is, their pictures are epic. They really are.
We had a good time.
I did. I had a good time.
You did?
I drank some too.
Yeah. That is so wild. That's crazy how that worked out.
Do you not drink at all or very little?
I play with it. Yeah. Like if I go out and like the 13th person asks me, do I want a drink? I take it.
Fine. But just
and then I'll be like.
Yeah.
And then sit down at the end. You know. I mean, I try.
I never really did.
But it'd be so many weird people out in this world, and they'd say they load up their weirdness just to wait on me to come and have an ear for them. And I have to deal with it. And I try not to be in a bad state of mind and not say nothing back wrong and not get into fights and hustles and tussles. And I'd be like, so I'd rather stay focused.
Yeah.
And I'd be dolo. I have my wife with me. So I'd be trying to stay on pivot too. You know what I mean?
Do you think that, like, this is like a crazy question. You think you could ever, like, stop smoking? Like, could you do it?
If I had to, I would. I did before one time
for like 6 months. What was life like with you not smoking?
It was cool. It was that or like my throat. My throat was my money. So I was dealing with my throat at that point.
You got it all together now.
Yeah, I'm cool now. I don't even know what happened. I just stopped. But see, I don't smoke blunts. I don't do none of that. I ain't smoked blunts in 20-some years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't smoke
blunts. What do you do?
Joints.
Oh.
Not rolling paper, though.
Because
rolling paper is like,
what?
No, not tobacco paper.
What do you roll it?
I do like.
Dollars.
$100. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What you thought?
I just put that coke in my mouth. I was about to spit it out.
Put it in your nose.
Stop it.
I use this high hemp paper. It's vegan. It's green.
It would have to be vegan. You couldn't roll with anything.
I will.
It
just had to be like hempy.
How can paper not hempy?
It could be
hemp. They make it out of
huh.
Yeah, right. He really? Said that. Yeah, I was thinking
they got
the same
some weed
thing.
That's almost vegan.
Oh,
That's deep to even say, huh?
Weed that's almost vegan? Why? Because of the pesticides or the fertilizers that you use?
Oh, that.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too deep. That's too deep. That's too deep.
No, I'm just saying. It's a company. So they just said they use that to say they can't legally say vegan because like one little bitty thing.
Mm-hmm.
But in a conversation, they're going to say.
So like are all vegan vegetables grown with no like cow?
Yeah, exactly. Are they? I wonder. That's a good question.
It's a good question, but I know for sure that this weed.
Yeah.
Dude in Denver like, hey, I'm like, I never even thought about that. That's what made me think about it.
That's interesting.
He's like, nah. So now I walk around to the groves. We be walking, doing tours of groves a lot of times now. Now I'm in the world, so I be like, oh, y'all make y'all. That's that poison. That's that not good right there. Mm-hmm. And then a person that doesn't use it, they'll say, watch when you go to somebody else's. Hmm. Watch out for this word. And we'll go in there and be like, he said that word.
Hmm.
He said.
Like a harmful chemical or something like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like well,
it's even less opinions. Harmful than when you were just getting it from some guy.
Maybe.
Exactly. Because you don't know what you're getting. You're buying a dime bag from somebody. No,
I mean, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, you don't.
I hate when people say, what's the name of this man? Shut up. Whoever wrote it on here, let me write something on it. What you want?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I definitely want to do this movie thing, man. I'm on. I got to go forward. Start the piece, man. Please educate all children every day is the point. You know what I'm saying? And if I can get. So you know how on, on Law and Order, right? How it starts off, and usually they get the docket or something, you know, how they get the stories, right? Somebody else walking around, they find a body, and then they go into the stories, like, where's our stories at?
So tell it.
That's what I'm saying. So
tell
I want to get into a position to where you can come in and say a story, give it to the writers. I got book, movie, play, soundtrack.
Those I like four, the way
those
that
are
sounds.
Four concepts, right? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, enough time to go in classrooms, talk back and forth. With the books, read to the people, you know, do a whole thing. But it's about decision-making skills. So I got something that I want to shoot first. It's really something simple, like shooting dice.
Because
a kid that shoots dice, and if his friend...
About shooting some dice, Kiwan.
See, education ain't all about reading and writing. Education about surviving. Education of what?
But come on, tell me how you gonna roll? How the dice roll? Tell me, dude.
Okay, because this is my life. This ain't about.
I know. Tell me, but okay, I want to cool. know. I want to understand because I would associate behavior. Like rolling dice with being like positive.
What? It's not about positive. It's about what's going on.
Okay, tell me. Come on, tell me about.
You trying to stay positive? You're gonna be 2% out of 1,000. So the whole point is a guy that only shoots dice. Mm-hmm. He call it only shooting dice because his friend is selling dope and his other friend is shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that part.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. So he think, in his mind frame, I'm only doing this, so I'm cooler than, I don't do them, right? So we show him, right? He go through his whole process, boom, he gets out of school because he answered the question right, so he gets a pass because they not answering none, they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, he's going to the dice house. He's going to shoot dice, flat out. His shoes look nice and everything, and mama ain't got no, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. He wins. Right.
Mm-hmm.
If he rolls a four and somebody is going to say, oh, he's a little guy, he got a lot of money. I bet you don't 10 to 4. That's the hardest point to hit. And once he say, yeah, the next person is going to say, me too. Me too. And he says, yes, 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 yes. And he hits it and he hits it and he hits it. Now he's leaving that place with $3,000. Now, the person he beat who said, gone, little dude, you too little. And then finally said, OK, I got one. I got a sucker. Right. He loses his girl. His girlfriend gave him $900 to go pay the rent.
Mm.
He just lost it to this little kid who's going back to school because the big guy in the room is saying, let him go so he won't end up like y'all. He going back to school. Y'all dumb. Y'all try to get him. He won. He's going back to school. He's going to do the money arm thing. He's going to be on Instagram. He's going to give his friend a little bit.
Mm-mm.
But at the same time, those two guys that he beat is sitting outside his school. That kid not making it home.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
So it's really about cause and effect of things that we put ourselves into to let you know that shooting dice ain't real. It ain't about showing it because it's shown. Everything I'm talking about is shown. We do that a lot and we say stuff like, oh my God. Okay, now go say it to the kid. Let's go in the classroom and say, how many of y'all seen know somebody who used drugs? They're going to say, how many of y'all know somebody who got their door kicked in for selling drugs? How many of y'all know somebody got killed this year? How many of y'all know somebody who killed somebody this year? We can do that all the way down to seventh grade. You see what I'm saying? Like, flat out. Like, we have to wait till we get in programs and get them 12 kids to the side and talk to them. wait till they skip school a thousand times, make them come back to school, mess up the credit rating for the people who going. Like, it's a bunch of, I don't deal with trying to take the F and make him an A. He going to end up being a D. And we're not concentrating on the A's and the B's at all. I was a straight A student, played sports, and St. Louis Slim, the comedian, he came from the city. He wasn't doing good in school, eighth grade. All the principals, everybody know his name, though.
What was his name?
St. Louis Slim. He's a comedian right now. Elton Neal.
Okay.
They say, Elton, get back to class. And I always wonder, like, why he don't know my name, though? I play soccer, basketball, football. I got good grades. He doesn't know my name.
Hmm.
He knows the bad kid name. So why I want to be good?
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Hmm. Like, they knew my name.
They knew your name. Were you bad?
You know, compared, what? I got a lot. My locker was across from the principal's office, and it was messy. There was always like papers and clothes hanging out of it. So I'd always get called to the principal's office, like if he had an important meeting.
I'd
called out of class. Andy, can you please clean your locker? I have people come. You know, I was like, get out. He's dead now. You know what? I didn't realize this.
Andy, you were a rebel.
I hated him.
You were a rebel.
I disliked the principal of my, so I hate strong word. Did not care much for him. And I had no idea many, many years later, everybody loved him. He was like, not everybody. People,
they
I think
they
the good kids liked him.
Maybe they
the
grew
kids
to
who were
him.
Maybe problematic like myself. I wasn't that problematic, but I was like, I wasn't there to learn. I was there to have fun and hang out. And
where you at?
Yeah, right. People like me, he knew your name and you didn't like him. The kind of the kids who got straight A's, he probably, in fairness to him, he probably knew their name and they liked him. But he was whatever.
What school is this?
At Clayton High School.
Okay.
So
let's go to Vashon.
Yeah. Right. Different scenario.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I've been in there. I talk. I go in there. I've seen it. And it's all about decision making. It's all about showing people what it means to be pregnant, because they don't know. They just think it's cool. But when I'm showing it, if somebody gets on the news right now and they be like, after they finish, I'm like, damn, I should have sucked my stomach in. You know, I should have said this. You get in an argument, you're going to say, damn, I should have said this. I said this. This is what visual does for you when you're seeing something on camera and seeing yourself look like that, seeing you wearing your pants like that. You wearing your pants like that. Now, let me show you what's the problem with that. Let's show what's the problem with it instead of talking about it.
Do they still do that thing where they give the kids the fake baby that they have to, like, it cries, they have to feed and all that?
Yeah, all they did is make the baby more realer.
Yeah.
That don't mean it works.
That doesn't deter anyone.
But when I show you talking to your friend on the phone saying, hey, we going to the mall. And then the friend be like, okay, I'm going to ask my mama, can I keep the baby? And you go show her going to ask their mama, can you keep Junior? Tell Senior to keep Junior. Where is he at? That's not my baby. And she got to go back to the phone and tell her friends, yeah, I'm going to take them to the mall with us. Show them how them friends say on the other end when they be like, girl, we ain't take no baby to
tomorrow. Maybe examples like that would help,
nobody,
right?
Ain't nobody answer the phone now. Showing her getting took to go get her unemployment or her check from the government, and they happy because they not getting any money, right? So when they see $486, they're like, you just got free $486? Show their kids saying it's not enough.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like, we're not showing it. We're not showing people. Women hustling on accident. My auntie went to jail 5 years because somebody give her dope to hold.
Hmm.
5 years. I'm just saying, you hustling on accident. Don't even know what's in that bag because you don't care. You think it's his. I don't care. But you holding it. It's yours too.
So you got to tell those stories.
Yes.
You got to tell
those
stories.
Okay, the three kids, the kids that killed in U City when they stole the car or whatever, right?
Right.
Okay, did you know it was the fourth kid that didn't go?
Hmm.
Right. He got on punishment, and his sister, who's raising him, took his phone from him and put it in her glove box. So he wasn't able to get the call to say, let's go, let's ride. He would have went. So now it's a position where he's telling the story. So watch this. So watch Kiwan come back into the school, right? This is how it is. I come back into school. It's a program of 8 people, right? So now we're here talking. He tells me a story. While he's telling me a story, I'm showing you the story. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are 8 episodes right here.
Yeah, visuals do help.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So me telling, boom, now you telling you what we all telling our story. That's 8 episodes right there. Mm-hmm. You feel
it's
me?
Probably good also idea. Impactful to have someone a little older who's gone through it, who is from a similar background, to say, hey, this is what I did as a kid. This is what could have happened. I got lucky. You may not get that lucky.
Right. But I definitely want to show it.
Yeah.
Then after we do like a teen summit atmosphere where now I'm showing somebody who has been through that, mm-hmm. talking to students mm-hmm. personally. Like,
do it. Do yeah. it. You know what I'm do saying? Do it. Do it. That's I support on. You.
Church.
Church.
Now I need you to be a teacher in this movie.
Okay.
Is that a church that serves Budweiser or a different
right,
church?
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I now when I got you playing the teacher, and then I got, I'm just naming names, Little St. Louis or LA Fours or Hitman Holler playing this student and this. Now we got a red carpet. Now we got influencers. Now we moving the needle because I'm showing you what's going on. Now we able to go talk. Now you got something to get your phone for real. What happened to like 21 Jump Street? Hmm. Was that a good? What did that get to do for us?
I think I kind of used to like 21 Jump Street.
Okay, but you seen it.
I remember it, but I don't remember
you seen
it well.
If you got caught with dope in your locker, what would happen to you? You
oh,
seen
yeah,
it's
sure,
undercover.
Sure.
It's undercovers
the
in the school.
Yeah.
They scared you like that. Okay, cool. But they've shown us something. It's after school special. It turns into that.
Mm-hmm. Remember, it used to be, tonight we have a very special at Different Strokes. You know, and they'd like,
maybe
do
all like he's walking through the neighborhood and like, oh. You know.
A very special Facts of Life.
They'd be like, ah, you got a white father. He'd be like, what? This is a special. He'd be like, okay, it's deep. It's deep now. Mm. Cosby Show got thrown off. No, but yeah, so it's just, yeah, I got it. I'm peace.
Thank you.
Other than that, what you smoking on? No.
Jen, pull the shades down, will you?